the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
When you read Ephesians chapter 1, you'll find to the praise of His glory. And that's what we want 2025 to be, a praise to the glory of God. Alex, it's good to be with you today. We started Ephesians, and we're going to get to it later on. But guess what? We have a guest in studio today, brother.
Well, we do. We're very blessed to have a guest, a return guest. And so not calling in from the other side of the world, but they're in the studio with you. So introduce Sergio.
I sure will. We have interviewed him when he was in Israel. We've talked about New York City and Chicago, but he is in Tupelo, Mississippi today. Sergey, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
This is Sergey Brozov. He is with Chosen People, a great ministry. And that's the reason we wanted him on, because, yes, we love him, but we also love the ministry that he's a part of, Chosen People. Alex, Chosen People, God is using it to really minister and bring people to the Lord, in not only in salvation, but in discipleship. It's a great ministry, and Sergey is a part of that, and we're thanking God for him.
Well, 30 years ago, Angie and I, when we were young marrieds, I was in seminary and grad school. We didn't have any money, but we heard a speaker from Chosen People, and we gave some support. It was, I guess, not very large back then, but we do love Chosen People Ministries. And Sergey, it's a privilege to know you, brother. And tell us, we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 1 again, everybody. Turn there if you've got a Bible handy, but give us an update on your ministry and what things are like in Jerusalem.
Yes, so a little update about my ministry. I am in New York City now. We are sharing the gospel with students in NYU, New York University, and Columbia University in the city of New York. And it's amazing time. We host students in our house, in the ministry house that's located in the city, and then sharing the gospel with them, doing parties, doing one-on-one meetings, and having just great time. Jerusalem in general is doing good. Israel is doing better a little bit. People a little bit more tired now because the financial institution in the country are kind of like crumbling, I guess. It's hard to be in a war for so long, and especially for a country that about the size of New Jersey. So it's a little harder financially in Israel. Everything is going up with prices. But the war is still around. We still have around 100 hostages are in captivity in Gaza. So we're still praying for their return as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on in the land.
Well, the good news is your family, yourself, tell us how far your family was from what was going on there from in Gaza when they were invaded.
In October 7?
Yes.
October 7, yes. So my family actually live only 8 miles away from the Gaza border. We live in the city of Ashkelon, which is on the coast, and we see Gaza from our windows. So we saw everything was going on. My family was there. I was in the States at the time. And it was a hard time for them. It was definitely a hard time for my brothers and sisters and for my family. I lost a lot of friends there during the war. As you know, I've been back, and we were calling from Israel, from my house at the time, calling here and praying together and praying for the people of Israel. But my family, my mom and dad, actually visiting right now the States for the first time in their life. They came to New York to visit us, and now they're here down in Mississippi.
Northeast Mississippi. Alex, can you imagine them flying in? And the two places they visit is New York City and Northeast Mississippi.
Well, yeah.
What a contrast, wouldn't you say?
London, Paris, New York, Northeast Mississippi.
Yep. And Jerusalem, they're all connected.
Amen.
Let me do this because I want to have everybody know this. We're just doing a kind of a snippet with Sergey, but two weekends, not this coming weekend, but the weekend, the next weekend, on Exploring Missions, we'll have a full 30-minute interview with Sergey, where he is sharing with us about all the ministry that Chosen People's involved in, all the things and some very important details about the ministry that he's involved in New York City. Let me ask you this. Is the number of Jews in New York City still one of the, it is one of the highest populated cities with the Jewish population still, Sergey? Is that still true?
Yes, it is true. It's the 2 million people, 2 million Jewish people live in New York City.
So, wow. That makes it one of the largest cities of Jewish people in the world, not just Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, but New York City.
It's the largest city in the world outside of Israel, yes.
It is, with Jewish population.
With Jewish population.
So
I wanted to ask you, how can we begin to, in talking with our Jewish friends, steer the conversation towards spiritual issues and then specifically Jesus? Do you have any pointers on how we can do that?
Of course, yes. You ask people about what are they looking forward in their life? Where do they find hope? What does hope look like? If it's look like that prosperity or finances, you always can show them things from the Bible and chapters that talks about that finances are not secure or nothing is secure except of the Messiah. And you can ask them, who do you think the Messiah is? Some people will tell you, well, you know, this and this guy, or this is a concept, or this is an idea of a Messiah. Then you can ask them, do you think Jesus could have been the Messiah? Why yes, why not? And if they say no, Jesus definitely, and most likely they will say no, he's definitely not the Messiah. Then you ask them, okay, so who is Isaiah talking about? Or what is Jeremiah's verse in 31:31 that says, I will put a new testament and new covenant with you and it will be written on your hearts. What does that mean? So using the Old Testament, it's your key and your power at this moment.
Amen. When I hear that, and the Jewish, my real good Jewish friend, he went to a public school down in Florida. And back then, now he is old as I am, a little older. So they could have the Bible and memorize Bible verses in the public school. And he came home singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Here is this Jewish boy singing about "Jesus loves me, this I know," and his mama was trying to. So the rabbi loves you, you know, but Jesus does love us, doesn't he, Sergey? He is
100%.
He is Messiah.
Amen.
Well, did it grip your heart? I know you were young and at a camp at Chosen People when you were saved, but Jesus is Messiah. I know your mother was saved early on in your life, but did it grip your heart as a Jewish people that person that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised thousands of years before he came?
It's mostly actually touched my heart when I study that, when I realized that Jesus is not just a Messiah for the whole world, but also is a personal Messiah for the Jewish people, that he came from the Jewish people and he loved them so much to die on the cross for them. Mm-hmm. And for all of us today who believes in the gospel and believes in him, this is what he did. But it was amazing, just realization of how long we were waiting for him. But the Jewish people were throughout the whole scripture waiting for a savior, waiting for something to grasp their hope with, to have back this connection to God, to the God that took them out of Egypt. And the only connection possible was through Jesus, through Yeshua. Yeah.
Sergey, I was sharing the gospel with a Jewish person last fall, several months ago. And much to my surprise, this person said that a lot of Jewish people in the West don't even really believe in an afterlife or eternity, and many of the rabbis, and so I don't know if this is true or not true, but I guess my twofold question would be, is it true that many people that are Jewish don't really believe in eternity, the afterlife, and if that is the case, why would this be?
It's true because majority of the Jewish people are secular. The majority of the Jewish people today around the world are not believing in God at all, and they don't have a concept of scriptures or God or spirituality in general. They might believe in some good deeds or spiritual things around the world, but not specifically the God of Israel. That's not something that's really important for them.
Well, I want you to do this. Time is going, and you're just going to be with us in the first segment, so we've got about 2 minutes. Tell us how people can find out about more about Chosen People in their ministry.
Yes, you can Google it. You can Google Chosen People Ministries. You can find our website. You can see what we do. We have a lot of work there, and I know that from the first couple of times I've been there, that happened because people called me and prayed with me, and it was amazing to know that this program is reaching so many people around the country.
Tell about the lady from Wisconsin. Here you are, and were you in New York City when she called you?
I was in New York City hunting for an apartment, being not just scared that I'm not going to find anything, and this lady called me and said, God told me to tell you that you need to just relax and trust him. And she said, I don't know why. And I said, I know why, because I'm looking for an apartment in New York City. And she just prayed with me. She heard me on the radio and decided that this is a great time to call me, to find my number and pray with me.
Chosen People. One more thing, Alex, I know it's your turn, but I need to get this in the interview, and you'll hear it in a couple of weekends about it, but you do not have to be Jewish to be on the staff of Chosen People. Am I right?
Yes, you don't. You don't have to.
And so, and there's a need for a lot of young men and women from 21 to 30, right in that age group, to help do what you're doing in reaching these colleges. So if there's someone listening and they've graduated from college and they're willing to be trained, is that a possibility that they could be called and be a part of the ministry of Chosen People?
Yes, if God put on your heart to reach the Jewish people with the gospel, please let us know, and we will help you to use those tools that God put on your heart to utilize them in the city of New York or anywhere else in the country.
Alex, what an opportunity it is for somebody listening and saying, you know, I believe God would have me to do that, because we're to be missional, aren't we?
Well, we really are, and my goodness, what could be more exciting than to be in the service of the gospel, but especially reaching precious Jewish people. And so we appreciate Chosen People Ministries. They're a fantastic organization. Sergey, thank you for what you do, and thank you for being a friend to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you so much.
Before you go, we're going to pray for you, and let's do that now. Father, thank you for Sergey. Thank you for Jesse. And thank you for all the work that you've done in and through them. And I thank you for bringing them together, a girl from Northeast Mississippi, a guy that was from the Ukraine, then to Israel, and then New York City, and you bring them together. And Father, for them to be a part of what we consider their family for us, or AFR, because he's been on with us, and we thank you for them. I pray you'd bless them indeed. I pray for the ministry of the Chosen People, that they would continue to reach out to the Jewish community all over the world. And I know Chosen People are in about 6 or 7 different countries ministering and reaching the Jewish community, but others as well. And we pray you would give them success. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sergey, thank you again, man.
Thank you so much.
Well, Alex, it's closing in on the end of this segment, but are you excited about Ephesians? Let me read one passage that'll get them going, and when we come back, we'll dig in. I love this. Listen to this. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. If you have trusted in Christ Jesus, you're to live your life in praise of his glory. Alex, we're going to take that, fill it out. And after we finish Ephesians chapter 1, I think the people who are listening will be blessed. So stay tuned for more of Exploring the Word. We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. You.
Exploring the Word is back on the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and we're so honored that you're listening. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, and we got to verse 10 yesterday. And in a way, there's a lot in this that is partly that which has already happened, that which is happening, but that which will be. It says in verse 10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He, Jesus, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. And Bert, you know, Christ is risen. The tomb is empty. The church was birthed. Pentecost happened. The Holy Spirit of God is gathering people towards salvation even as we speak. And yet, even though we have this guarantee of all that God is doing in the world, there is still a lot of the great salvation story yet to transpire, isn't there?
There really is, and you can't help but notice this in verse 11, and also as you follow up in verse 14, and it is an inheritance. Now, this is powerful, Alex. After it talks about all that, being the fullness of times, being together, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We've got something now. We have the earnest paid, but we have an inheritance that is waiting as well. So here it is. We have been saved. Amen. We are being saved, sanctification, and we will be saved, glorification. Our salvation one day will be complete in all the way. Now we're saved. We've been redeemed. That is complete. But yet there is more to come. This just blows my mind that we have this inheritance, obtained an inheritance. And I'm going to skip it down and go to verse 14. That doesn't mean I want to skip everything in between, but I do want to tie them in. Notice what it says concerning that. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory? I could not help but think of this, tying it in, see if you think it's as well as I do. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, He who began a good work in us will complete it. Alex, we have some, but we're going to get the full. We've got everything God wants us to have, but that doesn't mean we don't have more to come. It's be unbelievable when you really get down to it what it means to be saved, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. Well, and this beautiful word, inheritance. All right, I've got an English Bible here. We have obtained an inheritance. All right, that's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 5 words. You know, in the original language, 5 words was comprised into one word. eklerothemen. I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly. But I looked up this word, and here's the beautiful thing. In the Jewish culture and the Greek culture, there was material blessing if you inherited something. Could be land, could be, you know, something you've inherited. There was spiritual blessings that would go with that, like the blessing of a godly family and a name and things like that. You know, we don't, in our culture, put as much emphasis on what a family name might mean, but in the ancient world, to have a name, to be a part of a family, that was a blessing. But do you know what? An inheritance came with responsibilities, you know? And we've all heard the story of Boaz and Ruth and how, you know, a near kinsman could, if they would so choose, redeem a widow. But here's the thing, Bert, with our inheritance, salvation is a free gift from Jesus. But there is responsibility that goes with that inheritance, isn't there?
There really is, Alex. And you see this. Now, notice the next phrase after we have obtained an inheritance. Again, one word in the Greek language. I took Greek, and listen, some people say, well, Greek took me. It is, but it's a great language. And it's so expressive that it takes sometimes more than one word to express that one word that is in Greek. But notice this, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Alex, this inheritance is with, and I think you did a great job in setting this up, is with purpose, isn't it? In other words, it's not for us to squander our name, the material wealth, the spiritual relationship, not to squander it, not to just blow it, but for what? I want to tie in another verse. It's later on in Ephesians. For his workmanship in us. We're his workmanship, created what? Unto good works. So yes, after that initial redemption, that which is following is using that inheritance as for his purpose, because our purpose has changed. Our purpose is no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. And our new purpose is what? To glorify him, isn't it?
Well, that's true. That's true. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. You know, well, let me read on, and then there's so much here. But the people that first trusted in Christ were Jewish believers, weren't they, Bert?
They really were.
And we follow in their footsteps if we're a believer. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's security of salvation, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, I was reading that verse 10 mentioned the fullness of times, the things that are going to happen. And you say, well, how can I be sure of that? Well, you have this down payment, the earnest of your salvation, verse 14. And I've said it many times, it's not a perfect illustration, but it's like if you're under contract to buy a house and you put down earnest money. Now, the contract and the closing date might be 30 days away, but you're under contract, you're legally bound, and you're not going to abandon the earnest money and default. Let me say, dear believer, God is not going to default on you. And Bert, I've had people, they'll say, well, yeah, but I've not really lived the Christian life I wish I'd lived. What if I lost my salvation, or would I still go to heaven? Listen, we should, with God's help, live the best Christian life we can live. But the earnest of our salvation, and I think something that everybody can know, the Holy Spirit has worked in your life. And that's a promise of the presence of God in your life, if you're cognizant of the Holy Spirit leading you. In fact, Bert, even to be convicted of sin, to feel bad about sin, that's certainly not the world, the flesh, or the devil. If you're feeling convicted over sin and you want to come back to Jesus Christ, I would say that is a good evidence of the Holy Spirit at work within you.
Amen, Alex. That is so truth. Now, what is this all based on? It's right here, what Alex read. Look at verse 13. After you heard what? The word of truth.
Truth. Amen.
It is the whole thing. Now, notice the weather. The gospel of your salvation. The truth is salvation. Listen. The truth is in Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. You see, that coming unto him is salvation. And it's based upon what? Truth. It's who Jesus is. It's what he has done. It's where he is right now and what he will do. And again, that goes back to our salvation, Alex. As we said earlier about the inheritance, we have been redeemed, we're being sanctified, and one day we'll be glorified. So the whole idea of this truth is completion. It doesn't leave it halfway. He who began that good work in you will complete it. That is the whole idea. And he's working. And Alex, you've done a great job of saying when you have sinned and then you feel the conviction, you feel the wrong, your conscience bothering you, God is showing you that you can ask for forgiveness. According to 1 John 1:9, he is faithful to forgive you if you really are turning away and turning to him. And so the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, it is in him and you. Alex, let me say this, and I'll throw it back to you. It is a personal transaction between God and the individual. It's not groupthink. It's not just You know, salvation. We may have a group of people that's been saved, but each one of them was saved individually. You come to Christ on your own. And we're praying that that's what's happening even today. We had a man that was saved just last Friday as he called in, and we've sent him a book. Aaron, if you're listening, you're getting the book. It's on its way to you that we've sent to you. And listen, it's individual. We had a whole group of people listening, but out of that whole group, one person came to know Christ. Alex, it's amazing how God does that. He's interested in every individual all over the world. How many people's in the world today? Is it 8 or 9 billion?
Maybe 8.8 billion.
8 billion you know? People. And God knows each one of them. He cares about each one of them. He cares about you today. And we're saying this salvation, by knowing the word of the truth, that Jesus came and lived a perfect life. He went to the cross as the perfect sacrifice. He was raised again, justifying who we are and what he has done. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ready to make intercession. If you would ask him to forgive you of your sin and you turn away from your way and say, God, by faith, I'm turning to you. Alex, he'll save that person, won't he?
He sure will. He sure will. We hope that you, if you haven't made that decision to trust Christ, that today will be the day that you will. Let me read on a little bit. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Bert, if you look there at verse 20, it's all contingent on the resurrection.
Amen.
Our salvation, our security in Christ, our love of the saints. In other words, we're in the family of God if you're a born-again believer. And then we have got, like 17, in Christ, because of God's Holy Spirit, because of God's Holy Word, because that when you come into a relationship with Jesus, all of the riches and the inheritance, your joint heirs with Jesus, well, it's all yours. Wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, understanding, and verse 18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Bert, I think that speaks to discernment, having wisdom and discernment as a born-again, spirit-indwelt believer. And you've got the hope of heaven and the riches of glory. And I like the way the King James renders it. What is the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe? I'll receive it. I don't deserve it. God, we thank you for it. All that love and grace and blessing to usward. That's good, isn't it?
It really is, Alex. And you've already said the words that I had already underlined: revelation, knowledge, understanding, knowing. But notice this, as you said in verse 19, notice these words: exceeding greatness of his power. Now, listen, do you see that compounding? Not just power, not just the greatness of his power, but the exceeding greatness of his power. And you use the word "to usward." In the New King James, it says "toward us who believe." Mm-hmm. All of that is to us. And now what is it? The inheritance. Listen, this inheritance is beyond any description. Just like when Paul was caught up into the third heaven, he said, "I saw things that I found to be indescribable." I can't tell you how exceeding. And so here we find, underline these words. If you have your Bible, underline these words to see what he's given us so we can be his workmanship unto good works. He hadn't left us all here. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Alex. Amen. And then the rest of it says, to the working of his mighty power. Mm-hmm. Paul just couldn't get away from the power of the Holy Spirit working in us toward the will of God for his purpose in our lives.
Hey, listen, everybody, I want to give the phone number because after this brief break, we're going to take calls and questions. If you've got a Bible question or a comment, we want you to call in today. The number is 888-589-8840. You might want to write it down, 888-589-8840. We'll take Bible questions. Jesus, the name above all names, verse 21, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, the church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. I would encourage people, read Ephesians 1, 21 through 23, and just reflect on Jesus, the name above all names. When you're in Christ, you are complete, as Colossians 1 would also concur, complete in Christ.
Far above, not just barely, not, quote, I'm using a northern Mississippi, a smidgen, no, far above anything you could even ask or think. Give us a call, 888-589-8840. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com. Man, we're going to get started because Brent is over there jamming. I'm telling you, that drummer comes out in him. Alex, I need to get this in, and we're going to get to the phone calls, and we do have lines open, and that number is 888-589-8840. If you've got a Bible question, we'd love to have it. But there's something coming up, Alex, that you're going to be a part of. It's the Activate Conference, and it's going to be here in Mississippi on June the 12th through the 14th, and it's called The Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And they have extended the early bird pricing until the 10th day of January. So you can go online and find out more about this, and I think you would just enjoy it to be a part of it. And Activate, you can find that at the AFR website. You can find out in more. You're going to be a part of it. Frank Turek, Todd Herman, Abe Hamilton III, and Ed Vitagliano. That's quite a lineup, brother.
It really is. And, you know, on that Friday during the Activate Conference, there's going to be a panel discussion, and we'll all be there. And, hey, I got to tell you, there are so many great presenters, but two of the best, and if you've never heard them, I assure you, you need to. One is Ed Vitagliano, a longtime personality with AFA Ministries. He's brilliant. I hear Ed every chance I can. And then my friend of 30 years, Frank Turek, just one of the great thinkers. He'll be speaking. I'll be speaking on the preservation of the Bible, and you'll understand the Christian faith. You'll be able to better defend the Christian faith. So, Bert, give that again. Then I got one more thing I wanted to share, but the website for the Activate Summit.
Far as I know, you can go to the AFR.net website, and it'll take you to the Activate. Follow the links, and it will help you. And so do that, and I think you'll just really enjoy it and be a part of that June the 12th, 13th, and 14th here in Tupelo, yeah, Mississippi. And it's to January the 10th. So get that in and do it now.
And I know summertime is a long ways off, folks, but in July and August, twice this year, never done it this way before, but I'll be at The Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina, thecove.org. Just put my name in the space bar. We'll be doing the book of Job, verse by verse through the book of Job. And then we'll also be doing a session on apologetics with J. Warner Wallace. So I'd love to see you at the Cove this summer. But, Bert, may we go to the phone call?
Let's do it. Where to first?
South Carolina. Wendy in South Carolina, thanks for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. I have a twofold thing. One, I just want to say that I finished the Bible today, this morning, in my gospel reading, and I've read the whole thing, and I'm super excited, and I would love that email to send to you guys so I can get my certificate.
Brett, are you ready to receive that email, brother?
Let me get it turned on here. Yes, I am ready to receive
it. Okay, Wendy, you can do that.
How
can she send it to us?
I'll just send it to us at word@afa.net.
Okay, Wendy, we'll get it done.
All right.
Amen. Awesome. I commend you.
Thank you so much. So my question is this. There's a lot of burnt offerings throughout the Bible, and I want to know who came up with that idea first.
Okay. Alex, was it God?
it really is. You know, what's interesting is that, the Jews at one time were taken captive by the Babylonians, and they say around the city of Babylon there were 9 gates, and at each gate was an image of a different god. And what was one of the most unique things about the Israelite people, they were monotheistic, one god. In the ancient world, they were inherently polytheistic, many gods, and hopefully, you know, appease all these different gods and maybe we'll be okay. But no, Israel, and it's in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." And monotheism, one God, that was so unique. Now, what God did, and you read this all throughout Exodus and Leviticus and the giving of the Mosaic Law. And Bert, I really do think that fire and a burnt offering, and you feel free to disagree, but God told the priests, you know, sprinkle the blood on the altar. And then the animals that were sacrificed, their blood was pictorial of the final Lamb of God, amen, whose blood would take away the sin of the world. But why a burnt offering? Bert, I think it's because the final judgment, the elements are going to be burned up with fire. Yeah. And you see, all those sacrifices represent the fact that if we trust in the salvation plan of Almighty God, we will be spared judgment because the judgment fell on Him.
Let me add one thing to it. Fire consumes, and we are a living sacrifice, and we should be consumed by the Holy Spirit of God. You know?
Wow.
And
powerful.
We are. After reading Ephesians chapter 1, I just hadn't got over it yet. I've read it and read it and read it, and every time I read it and see what all God has given us to live godly in this, there's nothing lacking. He's given us everything we need. Thank you, Wendy.
Kevin in Arkansas. Kevin, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you very much. You had a guy yesterday talking about how to know the denominations. And my dad had a book, and I found it online. It was called A Complete Guide to Christian Denominations, Understanding History, Beliefs, and Differences by Ron Rhodes.
Wonderful. Rhodes. Okay.
Thank you, Kevin. And I know Ron Rhodes. He's a fantastic scholar. When I was president of Southern Evangelical, he taught for us, and he's done a lot of work with Norm Geisler and John Ankerberg, and I believe his last name is spelled R-H-O-D-E-S. But, Kevin, thank you. Give that title again, because—
Yeah, and what we need to do, get it down and put it on, you know, so people can—Facebook, would that how you would do it?
Yeah, I can do that, or I can also put it in the podcast.
Okay, we'll do both. Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
The Complete Guide to Christian Denominations, Understanding the History, Beliefs, and Differences by Ron Rhodes.
Well, amen.
That's how and my dad knows he is.
I know Dr. Rhodes personally. He's a fantastic, conservative, trustworthy scholar, so I don't mind recommending that book at all.
Okay. Kevin, isn't it great? We have listeners that help other listeners, And by doing that, Alex, they help us too. Praise God.
Amen.
Where to next?
Kentucky. Cliff in Kentucky. How cold is it there in Kentucky, Cliff?
It is cold, and I'm in Hazel, Kentucky, just left Murray a few minutes ago, and been up on a boom lift working on parking lot lights with just a little bit of flurry in the 20s. And I tell you what, heat doesn't rise in this weather, brothers, I promise you.
I hear it, brother.
Hey, Cliff, bless I'm going to use that. I'll give you credit the first time. That is funny. Heat doesn't rise in this weather.
Yeah, that's no, it doesn't. I've just got something quick. I ran across something the last week, several days ago, and I'll hang up after I mention his name. I wanted to know what you guys' thoughts are on Jordan Maxwell and what he believed.
Okay. Alex, do you know Jordan Maxwell?
Now, I have to confess ignorance. I don't know who that is. Now, you're not thinking of Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, are you?
No, sir.
And it's not John Maxwell, but Jordan Maxwell. I'm going to have to look that up. I do not know.
Forgive me. I don't know. I don't know who Jordan Maxwell is. May we get back to you on that a little bit? How about we do?
Yeah, if you give me 1 second,
May I tell you what? Call in tomorrow. Let us do a little homework. I don't like it when something comes up and I've not heard of it.
Hey, so listen, Cliff, Alex. That means Alex hadn't read it or seen it with his recall. And so, Cliff, you've done something that very few have not done with
Please
Alex.
Call back in. Yeah,
we'll do that research.
Jerry in Louisiana.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Yes.
I'm diabetic too, and I've been trying to figure out fasting. I'm kind of new to the Bible, and you know, I'm trying to get my life straight. And I wanted to fast. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, help you, and you know, so I'm confused about fasting. What I should do?
Jerry, thank you. Let me tell you, you're starting to read the scriptures. Praise God for that. Keep on listening to Exploring the Word and find a church to be a part of, a fellowship, especially a small group, accountability group, and keep on growing. Alex, the Bible says when you fast. It doesn't necessarily say what you fast from, does it? Not all the time?
Well, that's true. And, you know, we always say this disclaimer, make sure that your doctor is okay with it. We don't want anybody to jeopardize their health. But yeah, in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples and to us, when you fast, you know, do not go around with a gloomy expression, but wash your face and smile. And the thing about fasting is when your tummy growls, that's a reminder to pray. And prayer and fasting, you know, in the Old Testament book of Joel 2, verse 12, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. So, Jerry, what fasting is you abstain from something. Now, we often think of fasting from food because that's a pretty universal human thing, is to enjoy food. And, Bert, that's been something that I excelled at. But, you know, really, if there's anything that is just overwhelming your life, Bert, I know people that they take a technology fast.
Right.
And maybe they'll say, I'm going to go for 2 weeks and not get on the internet or something like that. But what it is, it's a time to pull away and focus your attention and physically, mentally, spiritually focus on the Lord. And Bert, I do think fasting from food is important because, like I say, when your stomach growls, and otherwise you'd reach for a snack or eat something, you pray. And I will tell you, Elmer Towns, one of the great scholars of our time, Dr. E.L. Towns, T-O-W-N-S, he wrote a book, and it's great, and he's very trustworthy, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough. And Bert, I've seen it. Maybe, folks, you're begging God for someone's salvation. Maybe you're praying for wisdom or direction. Maybe you want the chains of sin or some bad habit to be broken. Honestly, folks, prayer matters, but when you fast and pray, things happen.
It's compounded. I love the word compounded. It's just like we were reading in Ephesians, exceedingly abundantly above. You know, it's compounded and fasting and seeking and reading the Word of God. And again, it can be a certain kind of food. A diabetic, it can be a certain kind of food that you take away from. But like Alex said, health-wise, needs to be consideration with your doctor. Alex, where to next?
Bless you, Jerry. Albert in Texas. Albert, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, good afternoon, Bert and Alex. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Good to hear from you.
I'm a first-time caller, but I did have a question that I want to pose to you. I was reading the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and I was looking at the rewards that are going to those that overcome. My question is this to a are those the same rewards that will be handed out at the Bema seat when after the rapture, when we're at the marriage feast of the Lamb, and is that to the same group of individuals? Are these to martyrs, or are these to current church members?
Albert, great question. Thanks for reading. Alex,
yes.
When I've read that in Revelation, it seems to me, now you may disagree, that it is a select group in that area. Do you catch that, or do you think it's all of the saints?
Yeah. And hey, you get an A for a fantastically structured question. You know, there are fruits of the Spirit and spiritual gifts in this life, and then there's crowns and rewards in the next. And it seems to be in the seven churches of Asia Minor, you know, you've got the church at Smyrna and Pergamos and all these churches listed, and there is generally a compliment but also a complaint, you know, and, return and do the first works, or I will come and take away your candlestick, you know, says the Lord. So, Bert, I really think there's in Revelation, you know, 1-3, there's both gifts of the Spirit, but also crowns that one otherwise might get in heaven. But here's the point: carnality and backsliding and stubborn disobedience will jeopardize them all.
It really will. Hey, Alex, we got one more call. Can we go to that?
Rachel in Arkansas. Rachel, welcome.
Hi, Brett, guys. Long-time listener here, first-time caller. I'm just needing some prayer. I have to go to court tomorrow. My ex-husband of 6 years just keeps attacking me, and he's the one that filed the divorce after 12 years of marriage. In 2017, I broke my back, and I was the one taking care of both my children. My son's now 20, my daughter's 12, and he won custody of both the kids and filed for me to pay him child support.
Sister,
and
I know you're hurting. Bert, time
yes.
fleets.
Well, we're going to pray for you, pray? Rachel. Everybody listening, write Rachel down. Let's pray for her tomorrow. Father, give Rachel a calmness. And Father, I pray that you would direct her, help her with her words, help her with her actions. And Father, we're praying that you would do a good work in the midst of chaos and even the fighting. Father, do that work. And we're asking you to just help Rachel to be strong and stand in the power of your might. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rachel, amen. Thank you for calling. Bless Alex, you. Tomorrow we'll start in Ephesians 2. And I want to tell you, if you don't want to miss it, it's a blessing, isn't it?
It sure is, folks. Thanks for listening. Do pray for Rachel. Tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.